Hello, my name is Pastor Jeffrey Bonak, and thank you once again for joining us again today. It's awesome to be able to connect with you at a time when it's really not so easy to connect with people around us. First of all, I just wanted to remind you, we are looking to help anyone who might need assistance. If you do, or anyone you know needs any kind of assistance, please contact us and let us know. Or maybe you're someone who is just sitting around looking for something to do to feel useful. Sally Wallner is also organizing individuals who would be willing to do that as well. So please contact us, contact her, if you are interested in any of those things. You'll see on the screens the contact numbers for each of the pastors. Just call the school office, church office, and any of those extensions, and you can speak with us. You can also contact us through the website and online. Also many other different ways to connect, as you can see on the screen right now. And then also just a friendly reminder, first of all, thank you for those who are continuing to support the ministry of St. Paul's. I think now more than ever, this ministry is incredibly important, both to our people and to our community and really to our world. So thanks for that. The different ways to do that, you can mail in those envelopes. You can also go online, St. Paul Muskego Give, or you can also do the online text giving, and that number is also on the screen right now. And again, just a friendly reminder that every day, Pastor Kunitsky, or almost every day, is doing a devotion, walking us through our daily Bible readings, a great time for us to get together every day just for a few moments and hear God's word. And as we really are coming close to the end of the Lenten season, I think it is just been a blessing to be able to focus on the one thing that we truly need more than anything. And today in our worship, we're going to talk about Jesus' crucifixion and how through that death, he has given us that one thing that we need. If all the world falls down around us and people we know are dying, we know Christ and we have the peace that he can bring. He tasted God's punishment so that we could be free from that and have peace. God's blessings on our worship today.
Remember me when you come into God of spirit and truth, you alone satisfy and dry our weary souls. Let us drink from the spring of your mercy,
that our souls may be quenched, and our thirst for your saving love will be satisfied.
We pray through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father,
we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace.
By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life.
Amen.
We continue with the psalm for the day, Psalm 143. The words will be on the screen. We will sing the psalm together in unison. Psalm 143.
Answer me quickly, O Lord. Do not hide your face from me. Let the morning bring word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the
Lord Jesus, You bring light to those who dwell in darkness and make your love known to them. Enter not into judgment with your servants, but strengthen us in the saving faith and guide us into the land of perfect peace. For with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you live and reign, one God, now and forever. Final Passion reading for this Passion season comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 27. It's entitled, Death and Burial. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him, guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, Surely he was the Son of God. Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had dug out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after Preparation Day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go and make the tomb secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. This is the word of our God. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds, we are healed. We continue by singing hymn 125, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Healed. My dear friends in Christ, as we continue our Lenten series, Undefeated, we today see that we are undefeated by the cross. Our text comes from Matthew chapter 27, part of today's Passion reading, verses 45 and 46. From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, if my sins give me alarm and my conscience grieve me, let your cross my fear disarm, peace of conscience give me. Help me see forgiveness won by your holy passion. If for me God slays his son, he must have compassion. Amen. A seasoned pastor and his wife of many years had an understanding. If he was in his study working on his sermon, he was not to be disturbed. Even if many hours went by and he didn't come out for a meal, he was to be left alone. Only under the most unusual of circumstances was he to be bothered. One day he got up early, as was his custom, and went straight to his study. He didn't come out for breakfast, but this didn't bother his wife, for she was used to him missing meals. But when the noon hour came and he didn't come out for dinner, she began to be concerned. So she went to his study, quietly opened the door and looked in, and there he was, sitting in his chair, facing at the wall, deeply in thought. She quietly closed the door. More hours passed, supper time came and went, and her husband still hadn't emerged from his study. Now her concern morphed into irritation. She had spent time during the day fixing three meals for her husband, and it was only common courtesy that he should excuse if he couldn't make it to any one of the three. She went to his study, opened the door, and exclaimed, "Honey, what are you doing in here? Marty, what's so important that you haven't come out all day?" What was so important? What was so profound that Dr. Martin Luther spent the entire day thinking about it? My friends, it was these words from our text today, words of Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? As we meditate on these words of Jesus today, let's rejoice that we are undefeated by the cross. Let's join Dr. Martin Luther and contemplate Christ's cry from the cross. It's a cry that causes us to cringe, but it's also a cry that causes us to celebrate. Simply put, on the cross, Jesus was forsaken by God. God the Father abandoned God the Son in his greatest hour of need. Not a drop of compassion, not an iota of goodness, not even the tiniest token of mercy was there to sustain God's one and only Son. Do you remember Jesus' baptism? Do you remember his transfiguration? Oh, how the Father revealed to the world that he loved his Son deeply and was greatly pleased at how his Son was living his life. But not here, not now. Here and now, what God was basically saying is this: this is not my Son. I do not love him. With him, I am utterly disgusted. So complete was God's abandonment of his Son that even as Jesus addressed him while hanging on the cross, he didn't use terms of endearment. Words that he had used in the past, words like Abba, which really means daddy or father. No, he addressed his father in a somewhat harsh-sounding way, using the word Eli or God. As a 12-year-old boy in the temple in Jerusalem, when asked where he was by his mother, Jesus answered, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" the night before he was crucified, as he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring out his heart and soul to God, he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." Even as he began and ended his seven words or utterances from the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." But not here, not now. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was here that Jesus was facing the full fury and bearing the painful impact of God's anger over sin, your sin, and my sin. It was here that Jesus was suffering the fate of the damned in hell. Forsaken by him, abandoned by him, Jesus was cut off from God's tender love and compassion. As Isaiah had expressed it some 700 years earlier, "We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted." That's what damnation is. That's what hell is. Stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. Damnation is what we deserve, and hell is where we deserve to go. But because Jesus was serving as our divine substitute, because he, as the Apostle Paul says, was made our sin in God's eyes, damnation is what he suffered, and hell is where he had to go. In our place, on our behalf, Jesus had to suffer in damnation in hell for us. And so his cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me, makes us cringe with shame and hang our heads in sorrow to confess. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I know that it is finished. What beautiful words these are. Because Jesus was willing to be abandoned by God, forsaken by him to hell, we can now look at his words from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And respond with celebration. For in these words we find the heart and soul of our salvation. We discover that we are undefeated by the cross. Think for a moment of who it was that cried out from the cross that day. It was Jesus, the one who came to seek you and me who were lost in our sins. It was the Messiah, the long-promised and long-awaited anointed one of God. Of all the people who God could have abandoned on the cross, why Jesus? Why his one and only Son? Why the one whom he loved and with whom he was well pleased? Why did God forsake the only one who could honestly and innocently say, my God, why have you forsaken me? God did this so you and I could be saved. You and I who have no reason or right to ask, why have you forsaken me? We're the ones who have forsaken God. We're the ones who have turned our backs on him. We're the ones who have failed to trust his words and promises, even in times of crisis. We're the ones who have forsaken him by daring to put what we want before what he wants. You think that maybe, just maybe, this is one of the reasons why God has let this COVID-19 pandemic come among us? that we have our priorities all out of whack, that we've taken way too much for granted, that we fail to appreciate all the things of God that are really and truly important. God's answer to Jesus' question, why have you forsaken me? Jesus understood even before he asked it. I have abandoned you for the sake of every single human being who has walked the face of this earth from the time of Adam and Eve to the end of the world. You see, in his body, Jesus bore the penalty for every sin that ever has been committed or that ever will be committed. When Jesus died on the cross, God looked down from heaven and saw every one of these sins, and for every one of them, his burning anger, his wrath, was hurled down at his son, Jesus, like a thunderbolt from heaven. This was no mere token payment for sin. On the cross, the full payment for every sin, your sin, my sin, was extracted from Jesus. How his cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me, leads us to celebrate. For in that death, we are forgiven. God punished Jesus for our sin and punished our sin in full. We are undefeated by the cross. Oh, yes, the cross. In what direction can we look without seeing a cross? Whether it's perched on top of our old church or etched into numerous gravestones in our cemetery or hanging right here on our chancel wall, the cross is the universal expression of our Christian faith, isn't it? Why? Look no further than the design. Two pieces of wood, one horizontal and one vertical. One reaching out, like God's love. One reaching up, like God's holiness. One shows us how greatly God loves us. One shows us how holy God is. And right there in the cross, in Jesus, we see these two meet. God's burning anger over our sin and his incredible love for us in Christ meet in the cross. They meet in Jesus. There and in him, we are undefeated by the cross. Fellow redeemed, Jesus was forsaken by God that you and I would never be. Even in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, God has not forsaken us. God has not turned his back on us. 2,000 years ago, he withdrew his love for his son so that we today, his sons and daughters, would find that love resting on us. We may never understand the reasons behind the actions that God takes, but we can always trust that God has a good heart. God's heart is good, full of love for us in Christ. We may shake our heads wondering and have questions over and back, but God's heart is full of love for us in Christ. A love that is so clearly revealed to us on the cross. When Katie Luther, Martin Luther's wife, entered his study so many years ago and asked him what he was doing, her bewildered husband, still staring at the wall, replied, "Forsaken by God. Forsaken by God. Who can ever understand it? None of us, really. But we believe it, don't we? And in believing, we celebrate and sing how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away and wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Amen. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And we join our hearts in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, it is because of our sin that we justly deserve to suffer both your curse during our time on earth and your eternal condemnation in hell. But we plead for your mercy, knowing that your Son Jesus suffered the punishment and died the death our sin deserved. He was willing to be forsaken by you, that we would never be forsaken. He was willing to be defeated by death, that by his resurrection from the dead, we would have the sure and certain hope of eternal life in heaven. For his sake, you have forgiven all our sins and cleansed us from all our unrighteousness. Now, trusting that you love us and care for us, we dare to ask for your blessing. Merciful Father, you are our ever-present help in trouble. Once again, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, we have come to realize that your thoughts are not our thoughts, nor are your ways our ways. In your wisdom, you have permitted this global crisis to cause so much pain and loss. Do not let our hearts despair, but sustain and comfort us by your word. Stop the spread of the virus. Heal the sick, console the bereaved and the afflicted, protect the poor and helpless, and deliver all who are still in danger. Strengthen our faith by your mighty word and promises. Grant that we may praise you, our compassionate and loving God, by showing mercy to others in all their needs. Heavenly Father, into your hands we commit our bodies and souls and all things. Send your holy angels to watch over us so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh may have no power over us. All this we bring to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and in his name we join to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, hymn 106, Come to Calvary's Holy Mount.
Come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Here a pure and healing fountain flows to you, to me, to all. In a full perpetual tide, opened when our Savior died. come defiled without within. From infection and uncleanness, from the leprosy of sin, wash your robes and make them white. You shall walk with God in light. Come in sorrow and contrition, wounded, paralyzed, and blind. Hear the guilty free remission, hear the troubled peace may find. Now this fountain will restore, he that drinks shall thirst no more. He that drinks shall live forever, a soul-renewing flood. God is faithful, God will never break his covenant of blood. Signed when our Redeemer died, sealed when he was glorified.
Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. In peace, Lord, let your servant now depart, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for every people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. In peace, in peace.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you once again so much for joining us in worship today. Lent has been traditionally a season of the year where we try to separate ourselves from what's going on in the world around us and focus on Christ. And this year, God has given us opportunity, a special opportunity, to be able to do that. So we are grateful that we could be a part of that for you and with you. And we will continue to be so as Holy Week approaches. Please take note, we will have Palm Sunday services this weekend, and we are looking to do something small for Monday, Thursday, but we'll have also Good Friday and Easter Sunday services available for you next week as well. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and God's richest blessings on the rest of your day. Thank you.